for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Natalie. Today on the show, the Quakers.
We'll be talking to David live in the studio.
And cancer.
Yeah, it is one of those things that can affect us all. Ivan's been talking to a couple who may be able to get some life-saving help, but could do with your help in the process.
All today.
Right here on Shout Out. See, that was smooth. It wasn't as smooth as my cohort the other side of the desk.
What was smooth?
So the opening.
The opening?
Yeah. I stuffed a couple of bits up.
It's always good.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to point this out, but if you have to say it's smooth and then clarify what was smooth, it might not be the smooth.
Yeah, yeah, maybe not as smooth as you think.
It was as smooth as...
Smooth criminal.
See, I was going to say sandpaper, but I feel like that's mean.
In the same...
Ella, you can go off people, you know.
I love you, really. I hope you know that.
I thought the same was as smooth as a baby's bum.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's all.
That's why... So where's the sandpaper come from? Where did that get into your head, girl?
Obviously, she's going to make a great mother one day.
Because it's not smooth at all. That's the whole point. It's not smooth. Okay. So I have very unusual nighttime practices.
Anyway,
it was
supposed to be a backhanded compliment to Steph to say that she does it far better than I do, but it
that's very
completely
true.
Lost. Yes.
I got one word for you, Mr. Thomas.
Shilton, but yes, carry on.
Oh yes, and that one.
Got
isn't that
married,
the person
remember.
Behind you? Sorry, Carl. London.
Yes.
Last week.
Yes. It was really good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, Ella, sorry, we should say who's here. Natalie's presenting with me. We've got Steph, Ella and Lara in the studio as well. Hello, all. So I'm so outnumbered today, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
So, Terry, hurry up and come to the news. So, but no, we went off to the British Podcast Awards, didn't we?
Last Saturday, King's Cross.
Yeah, bless you. Thank you so much for driving. It was an awful long way, wasn't it? But it was really good fun.
London, Andy.
Yeah.
Long way is Poland.
Well, it wouldn't be the British Podcast Awards if it was in Poland.
No, but we're talking about driving and distances.
Yeah. Well, we kind of forget that you just like take off and go off to Italy in your little car, don't you?
Yes.
So, but no, it was really good, wasn't it?
More sensible people use Ryanair or any other budget airline.
Oh, hardcore, Nat, hardcore.
But yeah, I am really sorry to say we didn't win.
I think we did absolutely stupendously.
We did. We did find out that there were a lot of other podcasts that weren't shortlisted. There were hundreds of entries that never made it in. So, as they said, well, you were there, weren't you?
They said that anyone who's made it into this room is at the top of their game. And we were up against... We were in the Current Affairs, which was a hardcore section, up against the BBC, the New Statesman, the Inquirer, and...
The BBC Inquiry one, didn't they?
Yes.
Which was,
But I really like that podcast. It's a very, very deserving winner, it has to be said.
And actually, funnily enough, you know, I mean, they had like gold, silver and bronze. And in our category, gold went to BBC The Inquiry, silver went to The Economist, bronze went to the Weekly Economics podcast. And in fourth and fifth place were us and The New Statesman. So I feel
amazing.
We didn't do that badly.
No,
you
know,
not at
that
all.
That is amazing. Well done,
it is,
guys.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Now, talking of shy little Ella... You did an awful lot of networking, didn't you? So we kept turning around and we're like, where the hell's Ella gone?
How can she be shy and retiring when she was wearing 6-inch red stilettos?
Oh, you weren't. You killed it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She did.
You should see the photos. They've actually, have you noticed that they put the photos out from the event? You can't miss Ella, I promise.
No.
It wasn't a good sight going down the steps at McDonald's.
It was great.
I didn't
fall over, and I consider that to be an achievement.
We were impressed.
I want to say hello though to any podcast friends who might be listening in who we met on that night, because we met some super cute people and it was very exciting.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, and there was,
and they were also nice people as well, weren't they?
Right?
They were so nice. I mean, we do you remember in the actual award hall we were stood next to, you're going to tell me the name of the podcast now.
They were wooden overcoats. They were the people who do Wooden Overcoats, which is a comedy drama, and it's like a satirical kind of thing about two rival funeral parlors. And I was fangirling quite a lot at a lot of people at those podcasts. Also, Imrie for Melanin Millennials, which
was
is on the Shout Out Network.
That beautiful woman with those lovely earrings that we talked to first off.
Oh, that was Cassandra Denton, who is the producer of the Sound Women podcast. And Cassandra Denton is also very beautiful, yes.
She's stunning.
Yeah.
Suffice to say, Ella fell asleep in the car on the way home.
She kept me awake, snoring.
Wait, but I want to... No, you just got out of there. Snoring.
Oh, I mean, I came out once already. I can do it again.
Can I just say, she was snoring in the car on the way back and you didn't record it?
Well, no.
How do you know we didn't record it?
Yeah.
Ah.
Well, oh,
Mare,
God.
Yeah.
I've done worse to Steph.
It was the dribble out to wash off the car, side of the car when she got out.
No, Steph, you're not helping. You're just making it worse.
Wait, but I want to say a special hi to CJ and Ali from The Boy Who Didn't Live, their Harry Potter podcast. That's Potter with three T's for copyright reasons, because CJ and Ali were lovely and they introduced me to lots and lots of lovely people and they followed us and they really loved
so
us.
Full of energy, those
and they
two,
were really
as well,
excited
really cool.
about Shout Out, which was quite exciting to go all the way to London, meet people who made another podcast and them to come up to us and be like, oh my God, you guys do Shout Out. It's very nice.
Wasn't it? It's good, wasn't it? Yeah, so. Good feeling.
Now, anyway, talking of events, I can't believe we've got three of you in for this, but here we go. So, Out Shout this week with the trio that are Steph, Ella and Lara. So, who's going first?
I'll start off with, it's Pride season. Here we go.
It's long Pride season these days, isn't it?
So it's May. Starts this month in a couple of weeks. 13th of May, Exeter Pride. They've got a 50-foot rainbow flag and some Morris dancers. Way to go, Exeter Pride. Birmingham Pride. That's obviously a lot bigger and just as far to go. So easy to do if you're living in Somerset or Bristol. Just announced that Boney M and Nadia Rose are going to be performing. That's Saturday the 27th and Sunday the 28th in the Birmingham Village.
So I wonder, I haven't actually checked. Do you remember the flag that we have, the giant long one that they have for Pride here in Bristol? The Google image for Google Maps of Queen Square had that on it for years, where it was taken on the day when they were getting ready for Bristol Pride.
Oh my gosh,
remember that?
So I don't know if it's still
amazing.
There actually, we
I haven't
check,
looked
really.
Because they also had Castle Park with Bristol Pride going
oh
on.
Right,
yeah, they did, yeah.
Neat.
That was last year.
Ella,
oh my gosh, okay, I'm up. So
wakey wakey.
I promise I was paying attention. There's a music fundraiser at the Greedy Goose in Long Ashton on this Saturday, the 6th of May at 7 p.m. It's raising money for the Sierra Leone Marathon, and that marathon, which is being run by people including Joe Schofield, is raising money for Street Child Sierra Leone, a charity which helps to better the lives of thousands of street children by placing them into loving homes and education. Performers will include Stevie Nicole Brown, Rob Sainsbury, friend of the show, and
yay.
John Ross.
You like Rob?
Yeah.
He's an amazing singer.
I really
like, lovely voice.
I'm kind of intrigued. I did a little bit of, you know, Googling. And
he was
at
the Shout Out Listeners Awards. He performed.
Yeah, but remember, I wasn't there. And I mean, it's not like you had to bury the knife in deeper, but you did, and it's fine.
So he's got you can get all his stuff online as well. I think it's on iTunes and the like, so but yeah, he's really good. He's a lovely chap too.
Yeah, it should be good. And the other people are John Ross and the Shillings. So all sorts of like slightly different kinds, slightly different genres of music. So if you're kind of like not sure I'm up for kind of folky stuff, there's going to be rocky stuff and classical-y stuff. So check it out, Saturday 6th May, 7 p.m.
Classically stuff.
Yeah, is that a word?
Is it?
Hang on, let's check the dictionary here.
It's the neologism, which is a fancy word for a word you just made up, and I think that's allowed.
Is that like snoringly stuff?
You got to let her off if she knows what the word for a made-up word is.
Yeah, exactly.
Excuse me, but Ella works for the BBC, so she knows words.
So we'll have to ask the illusionist. That's a pick a word, isn't it? The Illusionist podcast.
Oh my God, I love that.
Helen
podcast.
Zaltzman. So anyway, yes. Lara.
And the final event is a Hush Night next week on the 12th of May. It starts at 9 to and goes on till 3 a.m. It's got a nice singles mingle the day that like an hour before it, and it's at the Queen Chilling, and it's like a girls' night out. So LGBTQ plus and friends are welcome.
LBT.
LGBT?
No. It's a women's networking event, isn't
yeah,
it?
So, so
I think men can go if they are invited.
They've got to be accompanied.
Yeah.
You can't just go. No, so no. Hush. It's I think it's organised by the people that do Indigo, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so, Indigo yeah. Network that are doing it. And yeah, it should cool. be really good. I go to every single one.
Cool. And one final one, because I did promise, because Andy's posted it up on our website too. But for men who are more into their fetish side, you may remember that a club night called Gear shut down back in January. Well, there's a brand new one that starts in a couple of weekends' time called Fet Club. Go check it out. It's the event is on our website, and if you want to know where it is, you need to sign up and become a member. But that launches very, very soon, in case you are unaware. So, anyway, thank you, one and all.
No problem.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast. Don't put the blame on
me. Rag and Bone Man. And Human. I love that song.
Only Human. You're only human, Andy.
Well, it's called Human. It's not called Only Human. So.
Okay, you said Only Human.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. One of my friends just recently saw him perform that live and said, look, hearing it live is like 10 times better than hearing it played on the radio. I just like the track. I think it's a really nice one. So.
Although the term Only Human's really wrong, because, you know, we're all good and great in some way, I hope.
Indeed. Now, as you may be aware, we've been starting to do a series every now and again where we look into things to do with faith and religion and the like. And we're very pleased to say that we're joined in the studio by David. David, welcome. Shout out.
Hello. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, you've come in to talk to us about... Do you say Quakerism? Is that the right?
Yeah, you can say Quakerism, Quakers.
So it's not a religion that is as well known as some of the others. So for our listeners who may not have heard of it, can you give us an idea of what Quakerism is?
Okay, yeah, sure. I mean, it branched off from what I suppose you'd call mainstream Christianity, starting in Britain in about 1650, sort of the upheavals of the 17th century during the Civil War, really. And it came from dissatisfaction with the mainstream church and an idea of getting away from that and founding around four principles, which are peace, equality, simplicity and truth, and that all people who follow the Quaker way should follow those four, and also very much to live those values in your life rather than just go to church on a Sunday or every day of the week you say that you live the Quaker values. And I mean, it's a small religion. There's only about 20,000 of us in the UK today, but we're still here.
Which is quite surprising as well, because it's compared to some of them, it doesn't seem quite as strict about things.
Definitely not. I mean, I'm here today and I can tell you a little bit about what I believe as a Quaker, but actually there's very little that all Quakers agree on. It's very much... there's a lovely sign on front of one of the meeting houses. We have meeting houses rather than churches, that says, "Thou shalt decide for yourself." And that's kind of the spirit. There's a lot of discussion and debate amongst Quakers. There's a few fixed principles, but there's a lot of thinking about it for yourself.
But is it still related to the Bible like the rest of Christianity? Is that still seen as the book, for want of a better phrase?
Yes and no. There's probably no easy answer to that, because there are some... I mean, it started out as an offshoot from Christianity, and I don't think you can deny its Christian roots. And there's some people who take the Bible very seriously, but we also have a book called Quaker Faith and Practice, which is like a compendium of about 350 years of Quaker thoughts to sort of challenge people as to what they think and what... I suppose the Bible is still a starting point, but the Bible is just what has been sort of written as guidelines, if you like, and then how you live your life is partly on your experience of faith as well.
So how did you... Because I was asking you earlier, because I wanted to know if this was something that you... been part of all your life. I presume you say part of with the religion, don't you? But you said not. It's only in the last few years. What was the big appeal for you that made you decide that you wanted to be Quaker?
I'd always had some kind of sort of spiritual thought and background to me, and it was really during the sort of Iraq-Afghanistan wars, I was very unhappy with what I saw as the Church of England being quite supportive of those. I remember thinking, well, that's, how can you support war? And I came across Quakers who, of course, noted pacifists and refused to fight in wars. And I thought, well, this is an interesting group. I went along to a local meeting and sort of haven't looked back since, really.
Yeah, but you say they refused to fight, but they were actually there in the First World War and Second World War's medical teams.
Well, indeed, it was a very interesting compromise that Quakers formed an ambulance brigade and went out to the battlefield to minister to the injured and the sick on the basis that that wasn't fighting, but it was supporting other human beings.
Yeah, and they still got shot at.
Well, they did. They did indeed. It was people always say, what would you do if there was a war? And I think in some ways that's an incredible act of bravery to volunteer for the medical side.
I do, yes. So Quakers got a link with chocolate as well, haven't they?
Oh, yes, yes.
and Bristol as well.
And Bristol, yes, of course. Well, of course, Quakers were one of the people who weren't tolerated as sort of a breakaway religion, so couldn't become MPs, couldn't join the armed forces, not that they'd want to, couldn't have any privileged positions in society, so often went into business. And I said at the beginning, one of the principles is truth. So one of the lovely things is if you dealt with a Quaker business person, you'd know they weren't going to defraud you because they believed in being honest. And actually, one of the areas which wasn't regulated was chocolate manufacture. So Quakers became known as very honest manufacturers of chocolate. And, of course, Cadbury's, Roundtree's and Fry's from this area.
Yeah. Well, Fry's, I believe, originated in Bristol, didn't it?
Yes. So. Yes
but not indeed. Only that, they started Barclays and Lloyd's and Friends Provident.
Absolutely.
So they've got quite a history.
Yes, yes. So. Turned out to be very good at business.
Indeed. but no, obviously we're an LGBT plus show, so it is one of the things that we wanted to talk to you about, because I won't say every religion, but traditionally a lot of religions have, although they're changing, and we're seeing that change happen now, traditionally they've been quite anti-LGBT. We've all seen stories on the news where people are shouting things, saying that it's a sin, it's wrong, and they're like, Quakers have never really kind of done that though, have they? They've always been quite openly equal.
The one of our founders, George Fox, talked about that of God in everyone. In other words, everyone had a bit of God in them, and so to treat anyone less equally than yourself, to discriminate in any kind of way, was thus going against this principle of equality. And then for sort of 350 years, Quakers very much lived that principle. And where I suppose it comes into your particular interest is that at its height in 1963, Quakers actually, enough of them disagreed on something to put out a pamphlet called Towards a Quaker View of Sex. And that has quite a, I can't remember the exact wording, but it says something like, it seems to us that the most important thing in a relationship is whether it's exploitative or not, and not whether there are people of different genders in it. And in 1963, that was obviously quite a radical thing for a religion to be saying.
Yeah, I mean, well, in 1963, I think homosexuality was still illegal in the UK, so that's quite a revolution.
Yes, absolutely. And Quaker marriage ceremony has been available to same-sex couples when that was illegal as well. So in terms of equality, Quakers have definitely lived those values when, as you say, the mainstream churches haven't necessarily.
So going back a step, you said that you don't call them churches, you call them meeting places, don't
they? Yes.
Are they still officially classed as a place of worship, or is it literally, can it just be like a hall or something somewhere?
Well, Quakers can meet anywhere. The reason they're called meeting houses is because they were originally someone's house. I mean, the more traditional ones, there's one behind Cabot Circus car park. I walk past if I've parked there, and that's the Bristol Meeting House, and that's, you know, an established one of some years. But there are some which are just a hall, just people gather together, and what Quakers do is rather than sing hymns or read from a service sheet, Quakers sit silently and wait to be inspired by God, and that's how our service sort of works.
Okay, so you say it's a meeting house, but you sit silently. You know, what if you wanted to talk to someone there and make some friends?
Or does that come later on?
That comes later. That's what some people call Quaker communion, is tea and coffee and biscuits afterwards. And you can imagine with this commitment to things like peace and equality, there's a huge amount of social activism goes on. Quakers are forever getting together to protest at arms fairs and all that kind kind of thing. So there's a huge community out there, and I'd like to think that if any of your listeners went down to any of the meeting houses, they would be welcomed as an equal.
Is there also a social side to it, though? Were you all friends away from the meeting houses? Or
To some extent, yes. There's some people I know from my local meeting. One of the lovely things is that, I mean, the proper name of Quakers is the Religious Society of Friends. So if you meet another Quaker, they will address you as friend, normally. And there's something rather lovely to meet someone you've never met before, and they say, hello, friend.
So it'd be a welcoming place for LGBT plus people to go down, meet people, have a cup of tea.
Yes, absolutely. I would say to anyone listening who thinks, I fancy a cup of tea there, then definitely go, definitely.
So is there anything about it that is strict? Are you expected to go every week, or...?
No, it is remarkably up to each individual person. There are, as I say, there's the four, we call them testimonies to peace, equality, simplicity and truth, but no one's going to test you on your first day or anything like that. It's more helping people to evolve their sort of idea of what they believe within a very, very loose structure.
That sounds absolutely fascinating. It's so, I have some of my family are Catholic and some of them are Christian, some of them Church of England, etc. I've never really delved into many other religions just because it was hard enough looking at those. It's fascinating. It's so different to so many others.
Well, my brother is a Roman Catholic, so we have some very interesting discussions, certainly. It is almost the opposite of that, if you think of all the sort of structures. And I mean, my brother in Lent worries about whether a duck is a fish and can he eat one during Lent and that kind of stuff. Quakerism just does away with all that and says it's important what you feel in your heart and how you act, and that comes before setting down hierarchies and laws.
Absolutely fascinating.
It sounds really good, because obviously we've got some older listeners who perhaps, you know, don't want to be in the pubs every weekend or doing activities based around that. So, you know, would it be a good thing for them to go there and possibly sort of, perhaps even, you know, if they might have avoided the spiritual side because of what Andy said earlier, you know, the church is not feeling very accepting.
Well, this is one of the things I'm thinking. It does sound like it could be, you know, if you're someone who has faith, because it's like I believe in God, for example, but I wouldn't say I'm actively a religion, just because I have had it. Personally, I have had nasty things said to me when I've been in religious places. But it does sound very much like the kind of place where you'd be very openly welcome, and, you know, even if you're not LGBT or plus, it sounds like... just a nice place to go and meet other people who perhaps believe in God the same as you, but don't want the full rigid structure that other religions have.
I mean, I'd say absolutely. Part of being equal is getting away. I mean, we say we haven't got rid of the priesthood. Everyone's a priest, effectively, as a Quaker. Everyone has the same value. So, you know, by walking in, you will be treated with that same value as everyone.
So, but you're all in normal dress, I presume. There's no specific robes that someone wears or
anything? No, I was very worried when I first went to a meeting. I was going to be expected to wear black and a funny hat and so on.
Is that something they did traditionally years gone by or something?
Yes, at the start, there was a great, in 17th century especially, there was a sort of revulsion against very bright, colourful clothing, as if that was taking away from the simplicity of the religion. But right. I'm happy to say there's a lot of brightly coloured people there.
Cool. Well, listen, David, it's been lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about it. Now, we did say that we give out a website if people want to know more about Quakerism and the like. I'm assuming they can also just go along to one of the meeting houses, can they?
Or? Yeah, what I'd advise was there's a website, www.quaker.org.uk, or sorry, quakers.org.uk. That will give you a list of all the meeting houses in the UK. There's about 500 of them. And you can go along to one of those, or on that website, there's a click on a link, send me an information pack, and they will send you some very basic information about what it's all about.
Brilliant. Cool. Well, listen, it's been lovely to talk to you. Yeah. We will, as we always do, we'll make sure we put the link up on our website
as well. Brilliant, thank you.
But stay in touch, and I'm sure we'll have to come visit it again, because it's a fascinating subject. So.
Well, definitely. It's been... I could talk for hours about it, so be welcome.
So anyway, stay with us. News headlines are up next. You're listening to Shout Out.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Imagine Dragons and Believer.
Yeah, and I learned something.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, Quakers have got nothing to do with porridge.
No, that was quite an interesting revolution. Yeah.
They've got nothing to do with it, didn't they?
Revolution, revelation, you know what I mean?
Quakers porridge.
No, they didn't. They had nothing to do with it. In fact, according to David, they actually tried to sue the Quakers for using the name. Which is interesting because Quakers have been around since the 1600s. So.
Since the 1600s, yeah. Yes.
Which I'm pretty sure Quakers Oaks haven't. But
indeed, you didn't have products.
Maybe
he thought
it was a wholesome name. So, you know, the one who invented the porridge oats.
Yes.
Maybe good and healthy for you.
And chocolate. It's very interesting about
being
chocolate.
A Quaker.
Bring back fries.
Fries, Turkish delight, wasn't it?
Fries, peppermint.
Was it fries that made Turkey?
It was originally.
But what about the five centres one with the different flavours?
Oh, yes, I like that one as well, yes.
Yeah,
we could talk about chocolate all day.
Cadbury's is now owned by the Americans, isn't it?
It's owned by Kraft, isn't it? Kraft.
It's people that make Hershey's.
That's right. And they've changed the ratio of chocolate cocoa, and that's why American chocolate tastes more sugary, whereas we've got the European chocolate is more rich.
Sorry to all my American friends, but American chocolate is absolutely revolting.
I've heard a lot of people say
it's like cooking chocolate.
Yeah.
And when you get American friends come over and you buy them a bar of British chocolate, or not so much Cadbury's these days, but when you buy them a bar of British chocolate, they're like, "Oh, this is lovely." It's like, you wait till you taste the Belgium stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can we have the news now? Because I need to go and eat some chocolate.
Yes. Here's Mitch and Terry.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 4th of May.
Jack Munro, the non-gender binary activist blogger, is to contest the South End West constituency in the general election on June the 8th. According to the Guardian newspaper, Munro has cheekily thanked right-wing motormouth Katie Hopkins, whom recently defeated in a libel case, for inspiring them to stand for the National Health Action Party, which campaigns on the future of the NHS. Munro also noted that Hopkins' libel damage, which run into six figures, will come in very handy during campaigning. The South End West constituency is currently held by the Conservative Party. At the last general election, candidates also stood for Labour, Liberal Democrat, UK Independence, Green and English Democrat parties.
Dr. Alberto Carbajal has written an essay for the website Gay Star News on the experiences of LGBT Muslims, who he says are still experiencing multiple discriminations for their sexuality, race and religion. He writes, "There is a growing tradition of queer Islamic scholars who are reinterpreting the scriptures in a queer-friendly manner. These are facts that many Orthodox Muslims don't want us to know today. Why? Because it goes against conservative people's heterosexist and masculinist values. For more on this subject, visit gaystarnews.com.
Here's an update on the continuing persecution of gay and gender nonconformist men in the Russian region of Chechnya. An escapee from that region has told European news channel France 24 that the Chechen police are now instructing the families of gay men to murder them before the state gets there. The situation seems to be escalating, with evidence that there are now six concentration and torture camps being run by the Chechen authorities. Apologists for the regime claim there's no evidence for the torture, but all credible intelligence agencies and human rights groups agree that the persecution originates at the highest level.
Did you know that Shoutout has worked with other radio projects around the globe to make LGBT content from the West Country as widely available as possible? Being a community project, we do not see ourselves as a competitor with other services, and therefore we have the luxury of cooperating where appropriate. So this week we say hello to our cousins in the Antipodes, as Australia's only gay, trans, bisexual and lesbian station, Joy FM, reveals its new logo and holds its annual radiothon to raise money. Community radio has a rich history in Oz. Pressure from outfits such as the pirate station Radio Hauraki, anchored off New Zealand in the 60s, and lobbying saw both New Zealand and Australia introduce community broadcasting in the 70s. Joy FM went on the air on World AIDS Day in 1993, initially sharing airtime with other community stations before getting their own licence. It costs over $2,000 a day to keep the station operating, so once a year, Joy FM hold a fundraiser, and this year it happens on May the 12th. We wish them good luck in meeting their target. Meanwhile, did you know that you can also donate to keep our home station, Bristol's BCFM, on the air? Visit bcfmradio.com to find out how you can help us to keep broadcasting to you.
And there's a special meeting of the members of OutStories Bristol, the LGBT history group, on Tuesday, the 9th of May, to consider adopting a new constitution which will pave way towards official charitable status for the group. If you are a member of the project, please join them at the Mild West Room in Hampton House, Stokes Croft, at 6:15 on the 9th of May. The meeting is expected to last for around half an hour.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Mitch.
And Terry.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Is this a bit where we're supposed to say, May the 4th be with you?
Yes, it's Star Wars Day. Yes. May the 4th be with
yes,
you.
Yes, may the 4th be like with we have, you.
It's getting
votes.
A bit tired now, isn't it? It's been yes. going around quite a few years, hasn't it?
I did like May the Morph be with you.
The little animated man.
There's a little video going around on Facebook of it. It's really cool if you see
it. Do younger listeners know who Morph is?
I have no idea.
Because our generations do, but they probably do.
Let us know.
Look him up. Look him up on YouTube, I would.
Yeah. And by the way, that chocolate was very nice.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That was using Suicide Squad, that one.
That's a serious guitar in that.
It's a really, really well-made track. I really like that one. That was Heathens by 21 Pilots.
Why have you chosen Heathens when we had the Quakers on?
Just because I like the song.
Oh, good.
So I do. I mean, Steph likes the theme songs quite a lot. So I kind of pick and choose what
I'm just checking.
So we haven't played it for a while. That's more the reason, more than anything. It's just a good song, so I like it. So I think you forget the history, because of the songs in Shout Out, was because the studio here used to be tiny, and we needed the time to get people in and out. And in the first few shows, we didn't realise that, and we would jump from one thing to the next with an 11-second jingle, which is what we call the Shout Out short jingle.
Wow!
And you would give them 11 seconds to get out and get the next ones in. And I can just remember there were a couple of shows where it was pandemonium. Until we went, might need to design this with a song. So.
Yeah, sounds more chaotic than Temple Mead Station at rush hour.
Yes, yeah. Now, I'm sorry to say, our next one is not as easy a subject to talk about as it was the lovely talking about Quakers, because this is to do with that horrible thing often referred to as the C word. It affects an awful lot of people across the country. Well, not just across the country, across the world. I am, of course, talking about cancer.
And, which my mother died of last year.
Did she? Oh, bless. So you'll know as well as many people how heartbreaking it can be watching a relative or a loved one go through it, one of those that actually suffer it with it as well. Now, Ivan's been talking to a couple of partners called Tom and Rick, who live here in Bristol, and Tom has recently been diagnosed with a non-treatable form of cancer, but they're trying to raise funds for Tom to have some revolutionary treatment over in Poland. Have a listen to this.
Now, Tom Ashford and Rick Thomas, you're a happy couple, you're partnered, you've been together for 11 years now, but you've had some pretty bad news recently, didn't you, Tom?
Yes, I did. I had a stomach cancer diagnosis a couple of months ago, yeah.
Rick, when you heard that news that Tom had been diagnosed with stomach cancer, what was going through your mind?
Devastation. How do I help him? What do I have to do? It's just totally, the news is just totally devastating. It sends you into all kinds of spaces you don't want to be. What can I do to help? How do I help?
Tom, when did you first realise there was a problem going back?
I would have imagined about probably a year before I started to feel any kind of discomfort in my stomach.
How long ago would that be?
Yeah, that was that. I would have started to feel discomfort about 6 months ago in my stomach, and yeah, I would have said that was going on. Yeah, that was probably going on for about a year before my diagnosis.
And you were you didn't sort of think it was anything untoward. You didn't go to the doctor or anything like
it
that.
It just wasn't serious enough to warrant going to the doctor until I did go to the doctor. Yeah, which was
So you obviously thought something was wrong because it'd been going on for quite some time.
Yeah, but that was literally a couple of weeks before I got the initial kind of diagnosis, which.
So you were referred eventually to a consultant,
yep.
who saw you at, yep. the hospital here, yep. in, here in Bristol.
Southmead, yeah.
In Southmead. What happened there? What were you told?
So first of all, I had an endoscopy and they found a large ulcerated mass at the bottom of my stomach, which was going through into the duodenum, so the passage through from the stomach to the duodenum, that it was ulcerated, it was large, and that it could possibly be cancer, but they would have to do a CT scan.
So they did that, and eventually they came to the conclusion that this was some kind of terminal cancer, is that right?
Yeah, they'd taken some biopsies from the ulcerated mass, and they, the conclusion when after I'd had the CT scan was that it was stomach cancer.
So what sort of treatment were they offering you at this stage? What did they say they could do for you?
Okay, the next stage, after the CT scan, they offered me a laparoscopy, which what that does is it goes into the stomach, blows the stomach up, and they get a really good look at what's really going on. And that's really the decider, that operation, as to whether you're going to go forward with surgery or that it gets classed as unoperative. So that would be a stage 4 terminal, which they would only offer you actually palliative care, so some palliative chemo.
So there was nothing that they could do for you that would cure the cancer?
No, they said it's unoperative and that there's nothing they can do for me.
So at that stage, you must have been feeling absolutely devastated, surely?
Yeah, I was. I mean, I think probably because I still wasn't feeling unwell, it was a little bit unreal because I didn't feel ill, but yeah, I was absolutely shocked. I mean, I was completely shocked.
But by sheer luck and coincidence, you heard of another couple,
yep.
going through a fairly similar situation,
almost identical.
What happened there?
Well, what happened was a friend of ours was walking a dog on a dog walk. A fellow dog walker was explaining that his son was in Poland with his wife. The wife had had stomach cancer, that she'd actually been diagnosed and seen at Bristol and had exactly the same kind of stomach cancer as me that was unoperative and only palliative chemo was offered. And so she basically started to research like crazy, find out where to go, how to go, who to go to. And she found this Professor Pawlowski in Poland who's done the operation for her.
How is she doing now?
She had her operation at the end of January. She goes to Poland every 2 weeks for chemotherapy. The fourth session that she's just gone for was combined with a scan. What they'll do with chemotherapy is after a certain amount of sessions, they'll give you a scan to see how the tumour's going. And basically, what they found on this scan was that there was no cancer at all.
Goodness me.
Yeah.
And this is a kind of revolutionary treatment she's had, isn't it? What does that entail?
Well,
without getting too technical.
Yeah, yeah. Well, basically, what they do is they cut you open, they take out the tumour, and then what they do is they give you a high PEC chemotherapy, which is basically they heat up a chemotherapy solution, and whilst you're open in the operation, they'll pour that into the abdomen and keep that swishing round for 90 minutes, and that's really, really effective.
Apparently. So it's highly targeted, and it's
absolutely.
And it's not affecting the rest
absolutely.
Of your body, which and is the problem with a general chemotherapy, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it's particularly good. It's brilliant for stomach cancer because typically, what stomach cancer will do is it will spread. It can spread to the peritoneum, and the peritoneum being the bag that holds the organs. So they wash this whole peritoneum with the high PET chemotherapy, and it works really well.
Absolutely amazing. Now, listen, you're both self-employed. You're,
yep.
you're running a successful landscaping business. Tom, you've had to give up work because of your illness.
Yep.
It's obviously had a profound effect on your joint finances, obviously.
Yes.
This treatment's going to be expensive, isn't it, Rick?
Yep. The operation costs targeted will be about £20,000.
That's just the operation alone, is it?
That, that also includes travel expenditure, airfares, hotel bills, etc.
Now, obviously, you need to raise that money. You're hoping to get treatment by when? Is it Tom? You've actually got surgery booked, haven't you?
I've got a surgery booked for the 4th of July. Yeah.
And Rick, you've set up a GoFundMe page. You've we'll put the link on our social media websites. But amazingly, I've just had a quick check. You're about 6 or 7 days in. You've already raised £6,000 out of that. Almost £6,000 out of that £20,000. Who's donating the money?
Strangers, friends, family. It's quite humbling, the people that have donated. It's amazing.
And we'd ask people if you'd like to donate and help Tom out here, that link will be on our social media page. Finally, Tom, what advice have you got to people who are suffering symptoms, this kind of symptoms that you've talked about? What would you tell them to do?
I think one of the things that's really difficult about this diagnosis prognosis is that you are basically being told that there's nothing they can do. Now, where you're supposed to get any kind of hope or positivity out of that statement is really difficult. What you have to do is you have to pull it up from your boots. You have to be positive. There's no other option. You have to stay positive. And you have to keep looking outside of the box for other options, because there are other options.
Well, Tom and Rick, I wish you all the best with your fundraising and all the best with the operation, of course, in Poland. I'm sure that's going to go ahead.
Yep.
And let us know how you get on.
Brilliant. Thanks. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much.
And Natalie's got it up on our screen at the moment. That total has gone up a little bit, hasn't it?
It's 7,887.
Which is great, but not quite there yet. So if you would like to help, the link is on our website. You'll find it under the news section. And obviously, if you're listening on the podcast, we will make sure it's up on our page for this show later on. So.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Great song.
What do you think, Steph?
Brilliant. That'll be played Monday.
Yeah, no, I love it. It's like,
no, we played it today.
I know, but I'll be playing it Monday as well. That'll be on my playlist.
Handbags and High Heels, Monday on BCFM.
And Pirate Nation.
And Pirate Nation, yeah. I'll let you know what that is at home. That is called On My Mind by The Disciples, and that's the Alex Ross club mix of it.
Club mix.
Which is a cool... I like my remixes.
Yeah, they're great.
It's Steph's fault, you see. I used to do it back in the 90s when I used to DJ. And I kind of all went out, and yeah, I know YouTuber in nappy Spanish. but of course, when Steffi joined us and then started playing all this stuff from H&H, like, ooh, it reminds me of the days when I used to go... Look, so I now purposely look for dance remixes and stuff. So that I can play it, and they go, there you go, Steffi, found you one.
What was your favourite song in the 90s?
I used to like, oh God, I had loads. I mean, it depends.
The 90s was such a classic decade.
It started off like 1990 was Snap and the Power, if you remember that. Rhythm is a Dancer was another very good one of theirs.
Lara's theme. Yay.
Tucker's Miracle I love, but I think that was just post-90s. I think that was early noughties, Tucker's Miracle.
There's so many songs in I'm a 90s girl. I prefer those songs than anything else.
I was a big fan of Sash.
Encore
and Foire being the first one, but Stay was actually my favourite.
How about you, Ella? What did you like?
I liked Steps and S Club 7.
The Seventh Heaven remix is superb.
Oh my God. S Club 7 were the one, though.
Yeah. Give me a Tiesto remix.
Oh, Tiesto?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do love TSA, to be fair.
Reach was one of my favourites from S Club 7. So, and I did like Steps as well. I like the one they've just brought out as well, which I think is quite
cool. I haven't heard of it. What is it called?
doing well then, isn't it?
Just look it up. Just Google it.
No. Listen on Monday. Google everything else. It's on the show Monday.
Is it?
Yeah, we'll do. I will tune in for you, Steph.
It is. It's quite cool. So, but I don't think it's doing particularly well in the charts. I'll try. Listen on Monday. Listen to Steph on Monday. We all need an excuse to listen to Steph. So, anyway, that's it for this week. Once again, a big thank you to all of you who voted for us in the British Podcast Awards.
Speaking of which, you can grab ours on iTunes or our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Yeah, podcast, that is not award. I should have put that on there, really, shouldn't I? So, anyway, we'll be back next week when we're catching up with the lovely people from Freedom Youth. But from myself and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.